Hello and welcome to Bringing Bach Back, the radio show that explores the church year through the music and theology in the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. The idea of the show is pretty simple. Each week we're going to take a look at a different Bach cantata written for a particular day of the church year. We will examine the music, theology, and original use of the cantata that we study, including hearing the scripture lessons appointed for that particular day. After a brief discussion of each part, we'll give a rough translation of the text from the German into the English so that we can understand the message that Bach was seeking to convey with his music. We'll listen to the cantatas movement by movement, imagining what it was like to hear the cantata for the first time during a weekly church service. And as we do so, we'll learn that Bach was boldly Lutheran and hopefully seek to bring back Bach into the Lutheran church. We'll begin this episode with the same words that Bach wrote at the beginning of his music pieces, Jesu Juva, Jesus Help. This week we have the pleasure of listening to a Bach cantata written for the celebration of Quasimodo Geniti Sunday, or as we often say today, the second Sunday of the Easter season. In common parlance, Quasimodo Geniti Sunday is known as Doubting Thomas Sunday, and that's really where our focus is a lot of the time in our modern world. But Bach is going to take this particular cantata in a slightly different direction, talking about the gathering of the church and how important it is, and that when the church gathers together, Christ is present amongst them, both in the word preached and taught, as well as in the sacraments administered. Bach is going to really emphasize that, and I think it's something that we ought to think about a lot today, because the reality is this: the second Sunday after Easter is oftentimes one of the least attended days in the church year, along with also the Sunday that falls after Christmas. The reason is this: we go to church on Easter or on Christmas, and we are excited and we celebrate. But the next week, we're tired, we're exhausted from all the family get-togethers, from all the getting together to cook and things like that, and so we often skip church the Sunday after those big holidays. And I think this particular cantata is really going to drive home how important it is for the church to be together every week. And so Bach is going to help us jump into the historical account from Scripture. We'll hear a little bit from that evening of the first Easter, and we'll also hear about 8 days later when Jesus appeared to Thomas. And so as we do this, of course, in the Easter season, we're excited to say Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Today's cantata is entitled Am Abend aber Desselbigen. Sabbats, or in English, on the evening of the same Sabbath. It picks up with the disciples in the upper room, where they have locked themselves into that room with fear. They are in fear because they've seen Jesus arrested and killed. They're in fear because they're afraid that that exact same thing will happen to them unless they hide. They're in fear trying to figure out how they're going to get out of Jerusalem and back to their homes up in Galilee. And they're also afraid because they've heard a report from the women of their group that they have seen Jesus alive. The last time they saw Jesus, they had basically run away while he was being arrested. And so they just have a little bit of nervousness about seeing him again after that. After all, if he is alive, it does mean that he's God, and at his dire moment of need, they abandoned God. And so they're sitting up there in the upper room, locked in fear. And we hear this in our gospel lesson. The gospel lesson for the celebration of Quasimodo Geniti Sunday comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20. On that evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, often when we hear these words, we think mainly of doubting Thomas. But Bach is going to focus in on the gathering of the church and the fact that even though the disciples have gathered with the doors locked, that when they gather together, Jesus is present among them. When they gather in his name, our Lord is present. And Bach wants to drive home that same fact to the people hearing this cantata. That even though they might not see Jesus, he is present. That even though they might not understand how Christ is present, because they are Christians gathered in the name of Christ, God really is present among them. And I think there's a huge comfort for us in that, and that we ought to hang on to that promise as well. We're going to move into the first movement. Now, I want you to go back to episode 1 of Bringing Back Bach and listen to The Heaven's Laugh, which is the Easter cantata that we did on this program. That cantata brings forward the joy and happiness that we have in Easter. And Bach is going to pick up right after that with this second cantata for the second Sunday of Easter, the one we'll hear today. And so we begin with a symphony that drives home that Easter joy and happiness, and it even uses some of the same instruments. We're not going to have the timpanis that we had in The Heaven's Laugh, but we are going to hear a lot of the oboe and the bassoon, and these instruments are going to be playing off one another even as they're accompanied by the other things. They're really going to show off the technicality of playing these particular instruments. And so we have this symphony that sets the stage, puts us back on Easter morning in the same way that that other cantata has, and we can imagine being there and receiving the news that Christ has been raised and kind of the uncertainty about all the things going on with that. And so we'll hear this symphony at this time. Kind of does get you in the Easter mindset, doesn't it? You hear those oboes going back and forth with the bassoon underneath. Really an amazing thing. We're going to move on to the next movement then. The next movement is a recitation. It's going to be sung by the tenor, and I want you to just put yourself back and imagine that you had been in church every day during Holy Week. You had been there on Good Friday and heard the Passion, where the tenor sings the evangelist part. He's narrating the words of the Gospels. And now that same voice is going to be reading the account of Easter, the account of Easter evening from John chapter 21. And so we see that here in this particular movement. The tenor is going to read those words, and he's only going to focus on the first part. In fact, he's not even going to talk about St. Thomas at all. And so here's what the next movement is going to have sung for us. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." This one verse is going to be the entire focus of the rest of the cantata, and this is going to be the thing that we are meditating on in church on that particular Sunday, how the disciples had gotten together and Jesus was among them, and when Jesus shows up, he says, "Peace be with you." Because we've already heard the rest of the gospel lesson read, we know the thing that brings peace. He says, "Peace be with you," and then he shows them the wounds in his hand and his feet and his side, and then repeats those words, "Peace be with you." It is the very wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ that bring us peace, not just peace with one another, but peace with God. We have peace with God through the wounds of Christ because our sins have been forgiven and no longer are causing enmity and conflict between us and God. And we have peace with one another because no matter who the person is and what the conflict is behind your issue with them, you always have the forgiveness of sins earned by the wounds of Jesus Christ in common with them. And that creates a ground on which we can deal with the other issues moving forward. And so this is going to be sung as a recitation by the tenor, and it is going to be kind of a quick thing, but it's going to set up what comes after it, which is the bulk of the rest of this particular cantata. And so we'll hear these words now sung by the tenor. So you heard how that is very similar to the way the evangelist would have sung during the Passion, which would have been just a few days before this. And you have the tenor singing with the continuo underneath. This is going to lead into an aria that's going to expand the ideas that this particular scripture verse has brought forward. And we're going to hear this aria sung by the alto. Now, this particular cantata is 24, 27 minutes long, somewhere in there, depending on who the director is. And this particular movement that we're about to hear takes up almost half of the entire cantata. And I think that's because it's showing you that this is the thrust, the theme, the idea that Bach wants to bring across on this particular day of the church year. And so I'm going to read the words here. They are, "Where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' beloved name, then Jesus appears in the midst of them and says to them, Amen. For what happens from law and necessity does not break the arrangements of the Most High God." So, where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, this brings to mind so many different ideas. First off, these are, in a sense, quoting Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, then am I in the midst of them." It also is an idea that we have in Luther's Small Catechism, when we talk about "Hallowed be thy name" in the Lord's Prayer. God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. How is God's name kept holy? God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. And so you see, gathering in God's name is really living a holy life as a Christian. And one of the very most important parts of living a Christian life is being in God's house to hear God's word, to receive God's gifts, and to really be in the presence of Jesus. And when we Christians gather in church, that's exactly what happens. And so Bach is going to teach us that in this particular movement. Now, Also, when we gather together in the name of Jesus, Jesus is present and says to them his Amen. Now again, we have to go to the catechism. What does Amen mean? Amen, Amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. This is, again, Bach bringing that idea to us, that we receive forgiveness of sins. We receive, as we heard in John, the peace of the Lord in the wounds of Jesus Christ. And we have this great and final Amen from God that says, yes, yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, yes, your petitions and your prayers are pleasing to me. Yes, you belong to me in the waters of holy baptism, and you shall have eternal life. Because Christ is raised, you will rise as well. So Jesus comes and stands among them, and then we have finally this last part that says, what happens from law and necessity does not break the arrangements of the Most High God. And the translation here is a little difficult, which is why maybe it sounds weird, but now Bach, what he's done, has also brought 2 Corinthians chapter 1 into this, where Paul writes, all of the promises of God find their yes in Christ. That is why we utter the Amen through him to the glory of God. Bach's taken that verse and kind of rephrased it poetically so that we can understand this. So we have the gathering in the name of Jesus, which means we're Christians and we live like Christians and we receive God's gifts in the divine service. And when we do so, Christ comes and gives us his Amen, which means that all of the promises of God that we have ever received have their yes in the wounds of Jesus. Just pause for a second and think about all the things that Bach has brought together in just a few little verses, and I'm trying to go through it fairly quickly so this isn't an hour and a half long program, but you see that here. Bach has a great understanding of theology. His librettist, who's helping him write the poetry for this, has a great understanding of theology, and he's going to bring it through in this extremely beautiful alto aria. And it is the bulk of the thing. It's about 12 minutes long or so, and it is one of the most beautiful arias that I think you'll hear in Bach's works. And so we'll hear that now at this time. Well, if that doesn't make you want to keep going to church, even the week after Easter, I don't know what will. That does bring us, though, to our break for this particular episode of Bringing Bach Back. We'll be back after the break. We've already heard quite a bit of this particular cantata, but there's still a little more that we'll look at when we come back.
You are listening to KNNA
LP
95.7
FM
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Welcome back to Bringing Bach Back. We're looking at Cantata number 42, which is for the second Sunday of Easter, Quasi Modo Geniti, and it is entitled On That Evening, the First Day of the Week, The Doors Being Locked. And that's where we've kind of left things off. We've just heard right before the break a really long aria sung by the alto that is, in fact, the bulk of this particular cantata. In fact, we're most of the way through this particular episode already. And where we're going to move forward is to a duet between the soprano and the tenor. Now, remember, the theme of this particular cantata is that Christians belong in church. And now we're going to even have a little bit of expansion upon that, because in the Gospel account from the Gospel of St. John of Easter evening, the disciples are locked into the upper room and Jesus appears among them. But the reason that they're locked in is because they're afraid. They're afraid that they're going to be arrested and killed just like Jesus was. And now Bach's going to throw that back into this particular cantata, because we face persecution in this world as well as Christians. And I think that's increasing more and more in our world today. And so Bach is going to say now, you are supposed to be in church. Christ is present amongst us in church, and he's giving his promises to us with an amen in church. And the reason that we're then in church is because we face persecution in this world. And so we're going to hear this duet, and the words that they're going to sing are this: Do not lose heart, O my dear little flock, even if your enemies intend to destroy you completely and seek your downfall, so that you're really distressed and fearful. This will not last long. This idea is it's brought forward in many Lutheran hymns. I think perhaps most clearly the battle hymn of the 30 Years' War on the Lutheran side, O little flock, fear not the foe. This idea now is being brought here into this cantata because as Christians, even though it seems like the world is raging against us, even though it seems like our enemies intend to destroy us, we have nothing to fear, because this present suffering is not worth comparing to the joy that is to be revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ when he brings us out of this world and into peace and comfort, world without end. And so there's lots of scripture passages that teach that. Psalm 37, for example, it says, Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look well at his place, he will not be there. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. We also have Luke chapter 12 that says, Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we've already quoted Romans chapter 8, verse 18. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And so this is a gospel reminder that even though the world rage and fight and be against the church, it's just a little while until we are rescued from this world and brought into eternity. And compare the length of time of eternity with the amount of time that we struggle and suffer in this sinful, broken world. And Bach's reminding us of that in this particular movement. So we'll hear it at this time, a duet with the soprano and the tenor. ¶¶ As you heard that movement, you heard the terror and the persecution and the struggle in the sinful world as the tenor and the soprano worked with each other to bring across that idea in the very music. And that's going to then be brought forward here in this next movement as well. Another recitation, this time sung by the bass. And he's going to build off that idea we just heard. So you see each movement here has moved forward, building off what's come before. We started with John and the account of the disciples locked up there, but they're gathered together as church. And so Christ is present with his promises and his blessings. And this is true even though we face suffering and enemies and struggles in this world. And so we're going to move forward with that, with this bass recitation. And the words we're going to hear sung are this. An excellent example of this can be seen in what happened in Jerusalem. For when the disciples had gathered together in dark shadows for fear of those Jews, then my Savior came into the midst of them, as witness that he will be the protection of his church. Therefore, let the enemies rage. What this particular movement does is it takes, this example from Easter evening, when they're locked in for fear, then Jesus comes into the midst of them. They're gathered in his name after all. And if we're in the care of Jesus, Bach is saying, who cares what else is going on? Let the enemies rage. Let the world struggle. Let all these difficulties arise even within our own lives. We belong to Jesus. We know what our end is. We will be taken out of this world and brought into a world without end. That's our hope. That's our strength. And that's the thing that will sustain us in the face of the struggles of this world. We'll hear this song at this time.
Exempel sehen an dem, was zu Jerusalem geschehen. Denn da die Jünger sich versammelt hatten in finstern Schatten, aus Furcht für den Jüden, so trat ein Heiland unten ein zum Zeugnis, dass seine Kirche Schutz will sein.
Did you hear just a second ago as the bass sang, therefore let the enemies rage, the strings really kind of go crazy with a whole bunch of different notes right after one another, indicating the raging of the world, and yet we still have that hope and promise. And that's what we're going to hear about in this next movement, which is a short aria that builds on that idea, returning us to the promise that in gathering in Jesus' name, that Christ is our shield and our protection. And so the words we're going to hear sung by the bass are this. Jesus is a shield for his people when persecution strikes them. For them, the sun must shine with the words written in gold. Jesus is a shield for his people when persecution strikes them. Bach says these words are written in gold, and it makes me think of the hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness. Of course, written by Paul Gerhardt, Bach would have been familiar with this hymn, but the seventh verse says, He brings me to the portal that leads to bliss untold, whereon this rhyme immortal is found in script of gold. Who there my cross has shared finds here a crown prepared. Who there with me has died shall here be glorified. And it's the exact same idea that is being put forward in this particular cantata. Of course, there are different words written. Jesus is a shield for his people when persecution strikes them. But the idea is exactly the same. And I think it's key that in these great Lutheran hymns, these words are always written in script of gold, that Jesus will protect us as we face the challenges and struggles of this lifetime. We face these challenges here and now, but we know what is ahead for us, resurrection, life eternal, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Christian, as you think about this, especially hearing this song in a minute, make sure that those words are in script of gold for you, that as you face the challenges and difficulties of this world, which we faced many in the last year or two, and many more are ahead, that you know what your end is. Christ is your shield. Christ will take you out of this world. You will live forever with him. We'll hear this idea sung now.
Jesus ist ein Schild der Seinen, wenn sie die Verfolgung trifft. Jesus ist ein Schild der Seinen, wenn sie die Verfolgung trifft. Jesus ist ein Schild der Seinen, wenn sie Verfolgung trifft. Ihnen muss die Sonne scheinen, mit der Gülle überspringt. Jesus ist ein Schild der Seinen, wenn sie die Verfolgung trifft, wenn sie die Verfolgung trifft. Ihnen muss die Sonne scheinen, mit der Gülden überschrift. Jesus ist ein Schild der Seinen, wenn sie Verfolgung trifft, wenn sie
I hope that last movement brought back to your heart the feeling and joy of Easter and the reality of how our life has changed because Christ has been raised from the dead. We now move forward to the closing chorale, and this should be a familiar song to you. It's in our Lutheran service book hymnal, hymn 777 and 778, two different settings. The one that you're more familiar with is probably hymn 777. Because after the time of Johann Sebastian Bach, Felix Mendelssohn, the great saver of Bach's music, he's the one who collected it and organized it and made sure it didn't just disappear in the annals of time. Felix Mendelssohn took the words from the chorale we're about to hear and set them into the much more familiar hymn that you hear sung today. But the hymn is actually originally written by Martin Luther. In fact, maybe it goes before that from an old Latin hymn that Luther adapted into what we know. And I think that the tune that we're going to hear is a Bach arrangement of Luther's tune, which was first found in the Kirchengesang book that was put together by Johann Walter. And so Johann Walter edited it and brought it together, and this is the tune that went with this particular hymn. The tune, or the hymn, is Grant Peace We Pray in Mercy, Lord. And so hopefully when you go home then, you'll listen to the Felix Mendelssohn version of this, but it is really a great hymn. This is the Luther version, and the words that we're going to hear are as follows. Now, as I read the words, we're actually going to hear two verses sung by the choir. Now, in our hymnal, we only have one verse, so note that the words won't be exactly the same. Grant peace, we pray, in mercy, Lord. Peace in our time, O send us. For there is none on earth but you, none other to defend us. You only, Lord, can fight for us. Grant to our princes and those in authority peace and good government, so that we under them may lead a calm and peaceful life in all godliness and respectability. Amen. These words, I hope, are familiar, but you see that we end then with a prayer in these words, a prayer for peace in our world, for peace for us, and peace for our rulers and those who are in the government, and we're subject to them, of course, Romans 13. We're praying for peace in all these places, but we've already heard in the gospel lesson for this day where the peace comes from the wounds of Jesus that sustain us in the suffering and struggle and persecution of this world, promising us life that is to come. That's why this particular hymn is such a great chorale to end this cantata with, and we'll hear it sung now at this time. And with that, we come to the end of this particular cantata entitled On the evening of the same Sabbath, Bach's Cantata number 42, and also it concludes our 26th episode of Bringing Bach Back. I pray that it's been a blessing for you, that it's allowed you to peek into our great Lutheran musical heritage and to enjoy a piece of music that is decidedly Lutheran in its theology and is an amazing contribution to music itself. As you think back on today's episode, remember that this is what church music can be, beautifully carrying our theology in music fit for heaven. Bach was little more than a church organist who took the great hymns and chorales of the church that came before them and made them into music that carried the gospel to hearers of countless generations. That's why it's so important that we continue to bring Bach back into our Lutheran church today. We'll end our episode with the same words Bach wrote and the end of his compositions, three little letters, S, D, and G, for Solo Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. I'm Pastor Adam Aline, your host, bidding you Auf Wiedersehen until our next episode. A blessed Easter season to all of you who listen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Bringing Bach Back is a production of KNNALP Radio of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. If you have any feedback on the episode, please contact KNNA or visit its website at thecross957.org. We'd love to hear from you. Also, like and follow us on our Facebook page or listen through our podcasting services.